From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
The Chiefs are going to need a strong secondary in 2020 as the entire league comes after them. And we're going to take a look at who's where, how they're going to be able to improve. We're going to take a look at who's where and how they're going to look in 2020. Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. I'm Ryan, the founder of Rogue Analytics, as well as your host over at RGR YouTube. And I got to tell you, after covering this team now going on 6 years and this podcast has been running, we're quickly approaching our 1,000th episode. I want to let you guys know that. Today's kind of unique. I know that there are still ongoing things outside of the football world that need to be addressed, and I'm glad that people are addressing them, hopefully peacefully and calmly. But inside, there's still a thing that we're losing sight of somewhat because of everything going on in the world. But the COVID-19 pandemic has affected the NFL in a drastic way. And we're seeing it not just in Kansas City, but across the league with the announcement that you heard yesterday that they're not going to go away to training camp, having training camp at home. And what that has to mean, we need to elaborate on that. That means that the Kansas City Chiefs facilities are not set up to have spectators. They are very specifically not meant for people to view what goes on the practice fields. It is not as spacious an area to practice on as it is at St. Joe either. So it is definitely something that's going to take some logistics and some adaptation from the team about how they're going about going through the practice schedule for training camp. Maybe that will be modified as well. We don't know at this point. But I think we all have to prepare for hopefully some more media time to actually film and take pictures of practice. Now, there's always that part, even when I go to camp, where even with my long lens, Chiefs PR is very adamant you shouldn't be filming anything in the live sections. Drills, 7-on-7s, not a big deal. Okay. Hopefully that will mean that what media-wise we see when training camp rolls around is different and more expansive than it has been in years past. For those of you who have been at training camp when I'm there, you know that there is a lot going on and a lot that I take notes on, take note of in order to bring back and tell you guys about. And without any of us being able to see that, it's going to be difficult. But we have to be prepared for it. And the reason is that this virus is not going away anytime soon. I think that the precautions that they're taking are adequate. They are in line with what they should be doing to protect the players, protect the teams, because the virus is still going to be a concern, especially once we get into the season and there's players in close proximity. I think the training camp situation is going to be somewhat of an experiment. I do expect that there will be some team that is affected negatively by this virus. You're going to get sick players. And once sick players get in that locker room and it spreads, I think there's going to be a team that has to take time off, either in training camp or, unfortunately, possibly during the season, if this is the way that it works out. Usually in the fall, most flu viruses have a resurgence in their ability to spread. The conditions help them. I don't see any reason why that won't be the case with this particular virus, as all of the CDC has been warning us about for a while. So that also is a concern about how do you go about this season with the players in such close proximity with this thing hanging out there. So I think all of our expectations for the season have to be taken with a grain of salt. And I'm glad that the Chiefs are going to roll with it. I hope that they're all safe. And I think that gives us the best option at getting a full look at what this team can be and at that chance to repeat, which I do feel, because of the lack of preparation, is still as high as any team has had in a very long time for their chance to repeat. We're going to talk about the player that's driving the back end of this defense and how he has to continue and take that to the next level in this coming season as soon as we get back. And when we break down the secondary, and I'm going to treat it as all defensive backs because they really do go hand in hand. And even though there's a separate room for the safeties to meet every day and there's a separate room for the corners to meet every day, there's a lot of crossover. And they have to perform as a unit, as a group. Their clear leader is Tyrann Mathieu. That's really not much of a revelation there. I mean, he is, outside of the front seven, the highest paid player. well above the leader at the second level in Anthony Hitchens. That's what he's brought in here to be, not just in making a lot of money, but being a guy that can lead. And I think what you're going to hear here in a couple of quotes from Sam Madison is just how much impact Tyrann Mathieu has across the whole secondary. It's not just guys that have to come in and try to play his robber role. It's not just Dan Sorensen trying to slide in there. It's not just Armani Watts trying to learn what he does. He has influence on the cornerbacks as well. That's not something that we hear about very often, but you have to remember how much nickel corner in particular, that Tyrann Mathieu has played. And he's got examples. He's got how to be a professional, things that he quite frankly struggled at when he was a rookie. His preparation for the draft, his first year or two, were a lot of question marks. He has learned how to prepare. He has learned how to watch film. That's going to be really important, and he has an influence on everybody going across. You can't really question his capabilities and what he's done. It's about who's going to be on the field with him. There's a lot of question about where Juan Thornhill is and where you're going to be able to get some performance out of him. And it's really interesting to hear the way that Sam Madison refers to the process and the other people that have to be involved.
You know, that's Coach Rick downstairs and, you know, Coach Spags. You know, he's been through this a number of years. You know, this is only my second year and trying to understand. But, you know, just from my understanding and with Juan, you know, we've always tried to prepare other guys because you never know what can happen. And we have some good young talent, you know, at the safety position. So it gives us the opportunity to evaluate some other players. You know, Rodney Clemens, we brought him in. Amani Watts, you know, and, you know, just really see, you know, what we'll be able to add going forward. But, you know, it started with Coach Toll. You know, they got to be four phase guys on special teams as well. But, you know, so far of them picking up and understanding, you know, what we're putting down, you know, for as the scheme, you know, we feel very comfortable putting them out there. And then now we just really just have to work on the detailed footwork of how to play the technique. You know, we can show them Tyrann all day, but they got to go out there and they got to perform it.
Now, it's interesting that he brings up Ronnie Clemens. I don't know that it's in the cards for him to make this roster, but if they can find a gem in him or Chris Lammons, another safety that is lower on the totem pole, that they can continue to talk up, there could be a fifth. This is a team that has a tendency to keep five safeties over the last few years, and right now you only have Mathieu, Sorensen, Armani Watts, and then Juan Thornhill. Now, I feel Thornhill's going to come back and be in pretty good condition. Being able to run at this point is a big positive for him, and I do feel like he is a guy that is dedicated to his craft. We saw such good play out of Thornhill that it would definitely be a setback if the Chiefs didn't have him for the 2020 season. But that group is, I think, very solid. I think I really liked what I saw from Armani Watts early on when he was here. And I know there was an injury that kind of set him back, but if he is to be the fourth, maybe possibly play a role similar to what we saw Kendall Fuller do late in the season, where he could move back there and give some help playing high so that Juan Thornhill can move around a little bit, especially if you have to delay Thornhill's return at all. But it allows guys like Sorensen and Tyrann to be able to move around and do what they do best and not have to play at the back position. But he's not the only person that could do that. We're going to talk about the rookie that really has a chance to make an impact in that role here, and that is Jarvarius Sneed. I did a big film review over on the RGR Football YouTube channel. Go check that out. There should be a link in the show notes. But that'll show you exactly what Sneed is bringing to the table. And he does have some skills as a safety. I don't think that's the way I want him to be played, but should they need it, again, like we saw with Fuller, it gives them the versatility to move him back there if they should need somebody to play some of those deeper snaps. Now, he and Bo Pete Keys figured to play pretty prominently into the plans for the Kansas City Chiefs because of the stockpile, or the lack of a stockpile, of players at the corner position. Right now, Bashaud Breeland is up in the air, but he's clearly the elder statesman. They brought in Antonio Hamilton to play special teams, and the team is talking him up as though he's going to be in competition for the cornerback position. I don't see that happening. So there is room to breathe for the two rookies who I think have already made an impact on what their staff is seeing.
Yeah, man, I love it, man. You know, Veach, you know, last year, I was like, Veach, man, we ain't getting no corners. He's like, Sam, just relax. There's going to be some more. And then luckily for these two guys, and we get them into the room now, see and understand why he felt that way, man. These guys have been spot on, very good with the questions that we asked on a consistent basis. You know, the things that Coach Spags asked of them, you know, they're doing their best right now. So if they're going to do this and continue to do it, you know, throughout the course of their career, that means you know, they did some really good work on these background of these kids. Me and Coach Merritt, we'll join them every day. When you look at the landscape of offense this year, you know, you're going to have three wide receivers on the football field every single time. So you need to find that third corner. But, you know, have an opportunity to draft Snead, a big corner, a physical guy, knows how to attack the ball at the highest point. Those are the things for as each and every last one of my guys, that we need to get better as the percentage 50-50 balls thrown down football field. So, you know, Snead, Keys.
And while Coach Madison is high on the two rookies, you can't rely on only rookies. There are a couple of returners that have to fit in and take steps forward in the Spagnuolo defense. When we get back, we're going to talk about that. Now, one thing that we've talked about quite a bit, and it can't be reinforced enough, is just how multiple Steve Spagnuolo wants to be. He equated it last week to experimenting, to finding out what you had. And that's one thing, especially in the front seven. That becomes something that is tactically important to be able to throw off the quarterback, to know where pressure's coming from, etc. But in the secondary, it involves playing different techniques. Not necessarily things that you're naturally strong at. And everybody has strengths and weaknesses in how they play. You'll hear around the league where guys are called, he's a zone corner like Josh Norman. He's a man guy. He can't play the press. There's all kinds of things in between. Everybody's got their strengths and weaknesses. But it's fitting into Steve Spagnuolo's defense itself that allows it to open up. And that's what the coaching staff has to look at.
And versatile. You know, on 9 years, I played in a single man cover, you know, and coming from Louisville, I played nickel. I played, I played corner. We played different styles of defense. So, you know, you get with Coach Spags, then all of a sudden you're blitzing off the corner and then, you know, you're acting like you're blitzing and then you're dropping back in coverage. It allowed me to be free. And that's what Coach Spags always, he's like, guys, go out, you be you. But if you can play with the other 10 guys, I have no problem. And that's the beauty of his defense. You know, you get to play press, you get to go down and you get to play cover two, cover three, all the different coverages and disguises, and you get to play with the quarterback. So, you know, you watch Tyran out there, you know, and he's pointing at the helmet, but he understands how he can play and manipulate the offense by different disguises. And guys being free, as long as they end up in the right play, Coach Spags let them go out there and have fun. And that's what I really loved about it. And, you know, he's going to give you all the tools that you need. You just got to go out there and put it all together. So it's just fun being around that part and watching the guys, you know, be themselves and go out and make plays.
Well, and it's clear that the background that Sam Madison has playing for Steve Spagnuolo in the past really comes through, and it's something that they can rely on as they all get on the same page. With that said, one guy that is really interesting, and I feel like his evolution is going to continue in 2020 with this coaching staff. I like him outside. I think Fenton is a guy that showed you some playability, some impact ability, even though we know he had a long way to go. And I do feel like he's still got a lot of upside in him. I don't necessarily want him pigeonholed as a nickel guy. I think the lateral quickness is not exactly his biggest strength. I think physicality, playing outside, playing press is where he's best at least from what I've seen to this point. So I want to see him outside. I wonder if the staff feels the same way.
One guy I'm excited about is Rashard Fenton. You look at later on in the season, you know what I'm saying, even going into the Super Bowl, man, the kid, he made plays. You know, he has to see those concepts, understand them. Tyran was able to help him and work through them. And, you know, we was able to put a pretty good run with these guys. So going later on, when Breland went down a couple of series and plays, you know, he went out there and he played corner and he held his own. But, you know, we're going to put these guys just like we did last year in a lot of different places and see what comes up. And Coach Spags has a really good mixture of guys that he can play with, but we can coach these guys up and get them to understand how to play together. You know, the sky's the limit going out there and making plays.
And it's funny that Sam Madison mentions that Rashad Fenton's the guy who came in when Bashaud Breeland had to go out during that Super Bowl. And that's what the situation looks like it's going to be again. He's facing a four game that could possibly be reduced for a substance violation. And then he's got the arrest thing. So there's a lot of experimentation yet to come. But whoever ends up playing that other outside position is definitely going to be playing across from Treverius Ward, who is approaching the point where he can really make the leap. I felt like having to go into such a cerebral defense, again, like we heard, having to play so many different coverages, I felt like that slowed down his progression a little bit last year, but he did continue to get better. He is better at this point than he was a year ago, which was much better than he was the year before that. So he's still on the upward trend, and he's a guy that stays pretty healthy. He stays pretty aggressive. He stays pretty confident, and that's something that's a great mixture to keep him on the field and be the guy that everyone else is trying to play with.
I mean, you know, his confidence is very high, you know, but now, you know, there's going to be a lot of expectations placed on him, you know, just because the way that he played last year, you know, we didn't understand and know exactly, but, you know, he went out there, beached them. They talked about it. They ran and they raved about him. And, you know, he showed up game in, game out, have some good, but he has to do it consistently, you know? So that's what, you know, growing up in the NFL and getting to the next level is really what it's all about. In perfect position throughout the course of the season and plays, but, you know, ended up with pass breakups. He had to come down with those turnovers and you know, making those big plays down the field. He made a few last year, and now it was an opportunity in game situations for him to really understand how to make those plays. But with him getting all the reps that he got last year and all the different calls that we've made, now Coach Spags, because he understands the system, will be able to put some little spins on different stuff, and these guys can go out there and still play fast and execute the defense at a high level.
So for Treverius Ward, who is going to be in this position to be a stalwart on one side of the defense, you have to take it as a push. You have to take it as a goal to continue to improve. And sometimes that can be difficult. So Sam Madison feels that he does have a path in front of him to continue to get better.
Understanding his strength and his weaknesses, and he was able to display, you know, he was able to take criticism of when he wasn't doing good, and, you know, when he was doing great, you know, he was able to, you know, continue to fight through, you know, the high points when he was getting the praise. But now he just got to put it all together. You know, this, he's going into his third year, you know, he's gotten the reps, and that was, you know, the great part about it, getting those guys the reps to understand, to see, to know, what the route concept. Tyran, he's played a lot of football games. He understands route concept, what people want to do, how to do. Just getting these guys to understand how to study film was one of the great things that Coach Merritt was able to implement with these guys. And now they understand the why we're doing certain things, but, you know, just clearing up the technique. Like the gentleman asked before, what do we have to do when we get back? Little small techniques were the things that really hurt a lot of us in the plays that we gave up. Should have played, had some big plays out of all of these guys. But those are the things that they'll have to, correct and get better at going forward.
Making plays, creating turnovers, creating fumbles. Those are all ways that I think this secondary can make a bigger impact in 2020. I have to bet that they're going to. And it certainly doesn't want to leave out anybody else. There are two players in particular that are lower down on the depth chart. There are a lot of UDFAs that are going to be in camp. Alex Brown is still on this roster, a guy that put in some snaps last season. Can't count him out, especially when it comes to the special teams. But two guys in particular, Javaris Davis and LaVert Hill, are two young guys that I feel really have a shot to be that fifth, sixth corner that is going to have to play special teams, but can definitely show up and play on the field. LaVert Hill in particular has a knack for creating turnovers. That's exactly what Sam Madison is talking about. And I also want to point out that the last thing that really stands out to me is just how much of an influence Brett Veach's preferences show in the way they're going about this. we've noticed that there's not a whole lot of draft capital, not a whole lot of trade capital being put into the cornerback position by Brett Veach and his regime. His personnel group definitely feels like they're very good at scouting out guys that have talent that the coaching staff can improve on. And I don't see why LaVert Hill might not be another one of those guys that he can hang his hat on about getting play that is solid enough to win championships out of guys that don't require a huge investment. So despite having not spent a whole lot of draft capital on this particular position, you have to feel good that he at least is in tune with what he's giving to his staff and what they can get out of it. Very interesting to see the progression and how the coaches refer to him and what he's doing and understand what his plan is. So that's it for me today. I hope you guys are doing well. Make sure you stay safe, stay healthy, enjoy yourselves. And I really appreciate all that we've done. This is a really strange offseason. You guys have been there the entire time. So without further ado, thanks for listening to us today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.